Good afternoon, everyone. I am presenting today on behalf of Paul Garvey, who is the chief of the Air Pollution and Respiratory Health Branch at CDC, and he cannot be here today because, as many of you probably know, the American Evaluation Meeting is going on at the same time. Okay, no disclosures to mention. The goal of the National Asthma Program is to reduce the burden of asthma at the individual, the family, and the community level. Asthma is one of the most common chronic illnesses in the United States, and it has a significant burden to public health. In particular, about 1 in 14 Americans have asthma, and 1 in 25 Americans have had an asthma attack in the previous year. The image on this slide shows a normal or a controlled airway on the left, and the airway of a person with asthma while it's uncontrolled on the left. And during an asthma episode, the airways can become extremely narrow due to muscle constriction, swelling of the inner linings, and mucus production. And this causes limited airflow. In most cases, we don't know the cause of asthma or how to cure it, but we know that it can be controlled by knowing the warning signs of an attack, staying away from things that trigger attacks, and following advice from our healthcare providers. Without proper management, though, asthma can result in frequent emergency department visits, hospitalizations, and premature deaths. Each year, asthma is responsible for over 3,000 deaths and over 440,000 hospitalizations. In addition, almost 1 in 10 children in the United States have asthma. In addition to the direct medical costs that are associated with asthma, there are also substantial indirect costs that are related to lost productivity. The total cost of asthma in the United States is $32.6 billion per year. It's the fourth leading cause of work absenteeism for adults, resulting in nearly 12 million missed or less productive work days per year. In addition, there are 12.8 million school days missed each year among children due to asthma. The figure on this slide shows the prevalence of asthma by age, sex, and race, and it highlights some of the disparities that we are aware of. Asthma does affect all age groups, but it is more prevalent in children than in adults. In childhood, though, asthma affects more boys than girls, whereas in adulthood, it affects more women than men. African Americans are also more likely than Caucasians to be hospitalized from asthma or to die prematurely from asthma. So the CDC's approach for the National Asthma Control Program is built on 3 key areas. The first area is surveillance, and CDC conducts asthma surveillance that provides a basis for planning, targeting, and evaluating public health interventions. The 2 primary data sources that CDC is involved with regarding asthma surveillance are the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, as well as the Asthma Callback Survey. And in the most recent, well, I guess it's not the most recent year, but in fiscal year 2009, there were 40 states that participated in the Asthma Callback Survey. The second area is partnerships. CDC partners with their funded programs, state asthma coalitions, NGOs, and advocacy groups, as well as other government partners, with the goal of coordinating federal activities to reduce the burden of asthma. And then the third area is interventions and evaluation. One example of this is the Guide to Community Preventive Services, and the Air Pollution and Respiratory Health Branch collaborated with the U.S. Task Force on Community Preventive Services to review scientific articles that focus on environmentally focused asthma interventions. And what the community guide recommends is that multi-component, multi-trigger, home-focused asthma interventions are effective for children in reducing the number of asthma symptom days and school days missed due to asthma. So our branch is working with our state asthma control programs to implement this recommendation and to evaluate its impact. A second area of intervention and evaluation that we've recently been involved with is school-based programs, particularly the Controlling Asthma in American Cities project. And CDC recently developed a special journal supplement that was published fall of this year in the Journal of Urban Health that looked at the evaluation of those programs. The CDC partners with state and local health departments through as part of our National Asthma Control Program. So we currently fund programs in 34 states, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico to help improve asthma surveillance, to identify and track populations that are most affected by asthma, to build partnerships, and to develop and implement science-based interventions to target the most vulnerable populations. CDC's approach to working with states on asthma control includes the three components listed here: state asthma plans, surveillance, and science-based interventions. In terms of interventions, it's important to remember that asthma is a multifactorial disease. It is environmentally based, is considered a chronic disease. There's some genetic components to it. And so it's a pretty complex disease. The center oval on this graph shows the NIH, National Institute of Health, clinical guidelines for asthma management. CDC usually uses the word asthma control rather than management. And CDC's program was based upon the six things listed here, even before they were sort of codified and put into the NIH guidelines. Guidelines 1 through 5 focus on self-management related issues and the clinical aspects of asthma. And the 6th guideline focuses on environmental exposures and control. And successful programs and successful states tend to address both the environmental and the clinical aspects to maximize asthma control and reducing the burden of asthma. The next several slides depict examples, a sample of activities within the state asthma programs. So here are some of the asthma program logos from our state partners. These show some of the surveillance or burden reports that the asthma grantees developed. These are examples of statewide partnerships and coalitions that have been established by California, Hawaii, New Jersey, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Some of the state programs also focus on interventions within schools and child care centers. And lastly, these are some examples of interventions that have focused on environmental trigger reduction, specifically EPA anti-idling materials, and also information on the safe use of cleaning products. We'd also like to highlight some of the state successes in asthma management through environmental policy interventions. The state of California, their asthma control program partnered with the Pacific Institute to create some policy that would reduce the impact of diesel emissions on 10 seaports in the Bay Area. New Hampshire also worked with their legislation to pass 3 bills that prevent and reduce idling of motor vehicles on school property and require an annual school indoor air quality checkup. And these are just a couple examples. Our states have also been successful creating interventions and implementing interventions that improve the medical care for people with asthma. Again, this shows that Connecticut reduced the number of doctor visits by providing in-home asthma education and environmental assessment. Rhode Island improved primary care for people with asthma and other chronic diseases by using a team approach, quality improvement methods, and electronic patient tracking. And the New York State enhanced consistency of asthma care by using the asthma guideline toolkit for primary care providers. So in summary, we currently fund 36 out of the 57 states and territories. And so 36 states and territories have asthma control programs. Our branch has 12 years of experience working with states to implement evidence-based programs to help people keep their asthma under control. However, one death from asthma is one too many, and there's still a lot of work to be done. So CDC is committed to partnering with other organizations and governments to reduce the burden of asthma in the United States. And that's all.